There comes a time when it's more than just fantasy, when it's more than just a dream. There comes a time when you are the coach. Those players out there taking huge hits, smashing sixes and kicking goals, they're your players. It's your pride on the line, all in the name of bragging rights. When the time comes, there is only one place to turn. There is only OTLS Fantasy Sports Radio.
Hello listeners and welcome to the Trade Wrap. Of course, I attempted to trade Archie again this year. I offered to pay a third of his salary for 5 years, told him the others didn't want him there, told him he doesn't open up enough and look for a trade, was even willing to give him up for a pick in the 60s. However, there were no takers. So as always, welcome Arch.
Mate, I find that very hard to believe. Obviously, what you've got to do is offer to trade me to the Oklahoma City Thunder for some first round picks, because they've got about 700 of them at the moment. They're accumulating all those. Always find it very fascinating, the difference in philosophies between the American sports, so the NBA and the AFL, which we follow the closest out of all of them, where literally in the NBA you can be traded at the drop of a hat unless you're one of the very, very few players that have a no trade clause, but you can also leave at any point without any restrictions in as part of free agency.
It's, and the thing is, their free agency there isn't just a case of, oh, look, you spent your 8 years at the club and your first time out of contract. No, you're out of contract. You do what you want. And yep. It's amazing, isn't it? I mean, what I love about the NBA, which is so different to the AFL, is things change so much from 1 year to the next.
Yes.
You know, in the AFL and being a count supporter, boy, do I know how long a rebuild takes. In the NBA, if you get the right players in, your rebuild can take one trade period. So it's yep. just, unless you're Golden State Warriors, and that's a different scenario. But yeah, it's just weird, isn't it, mate, how quickly the different sports run the way that they do. And I don't know whether the AFL needs to be that complete open market or not, but yeah, it's definitely different.
Yeah, I like the fact that the AFL is a little bit more, you have a lot more one club players in the AFL, put it that way, as opposed to the NBA.
Yeah, and in the modern age, you're not going to get many NBA players at all that are one club players.
No, I would be surprised if more than 5% were one club players, to be honest.
And only because they just sit on the bench the whole time as a backup, earning their $1 million a year, and you know, no other team wants them. So
no, it's actually the other way. It's the superstars. So it's your Tim Duncans, it's your Kobe Bryants, those sorts of players. They're the ones. The role players and the bench guys, they tend to move around a bit just to get paid what they can get paid. The one exception would be Udonis Haslem for the Miami Heat, who was there through the Wade glory years, through the LeBron glory years, and now he's just earning paycheck. He's there as a, they call him a locker room guy.
Yeah.
So basically what you'd call a Luke Hodge or what Grant Birchall are doing at the moment.
What's interesting though is you mentioned guys like Kobe. Now, I don't know if we've seen a superstar stay at the same club since then, have we? Not top line.
No, not for their entire career, not off the top of my head.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Even Steph Curry, he's been there for a while now, but
yep, he would be the closest, I would think.
He's been at Golden State other than maybe his first 3 years, I want to say.
No, he was drafted to Golden State.
He was drafted there, was he? Okay, yeah. So he'd be about the only one, and outside of that, I'm with you. I can't think of anybody at all. So, but anyway, we're here to talk about football, not basketball.
We are.
That's coming up. So we're going to run through today all the changes so far we've seen in the club's lists. So mainly around the trade period, Arch. Now, we're a little bit late on this because we had some technical difficulties last week, and this has been our first chance to get back to it. But we're also going to have a bit of a chat more around the fantasy implications to what we think might happen. So we're going to start off pretty quickly with Adelaide. Now, the Adelaide Football Club did not get a player during the trade period. Mm. Their outs include Bryce Gibbs, who retired, Riley Knight, Ace Taylor, Patrick Wilson, Ben Crocker, Jordan Gallucci, Miles Poholke, all delisted. Rory Atkins and Brad Crouch moved as free agents out, and Kyle Hardigan was traded. Now, I look over that arch, and all I'm going to say is, who benefits most from Brad Crouch?
It's an interesting question, Zane. I can tell you who I hope will benefit, and that will be the kids. Less from a fantasy perspective, but more from hopefully seeing Adelaide move themselves back up from the 3-win team that they were this year. So I'm talking guys like McAdam's probably a little bit too much of a forward, but Schoenberg, McHenry, Scholl, Lockie Scholl showed a bit this year as well. Those sorts of guys, I'm hoping they get a little bit more of a run whilst they've still got, you know, a Rory Sloan in there to take the heavy beatings and get the hard ball. Just give those guys time to build up their skills and build up their build up their tank.
Yeah, what's interesting with that is the three guys, or at least probably two guys there that were really guys that would have been able to step under are Jordan Gallucci and Miles Pahulke. Both guys that were sort of what they're probably third or fourth year in now, thereabouts, and would have been perfect to you know, put on the big boys' pants and step into there. So they're gone, so you're right. It's a bit of a guess. I actually think Rory Laird might benefit a little bit, Arch. He played a bit more mid-time, played a bit more through the mid there this year, just gone in 2020. But also with Miller coming back into the team, it might free him up more to not have to play that role down back as well. So that's one that I'll be watching during pre-season for sure, to see if he's getting some midfield minutes.
Yeah, absolutely. It'd be interesting to see. He did score quite well, obviously, in the fantasy formats this year. So if he is getting that, quote, more midfield time, he will definitely be one of the most selected midfielders as well this year.
Without a doubt.
All right, moving on to the Brisbane Lions. So in for Brisbane come Joe Danaher in the big move there, and Nakia Cockatoo. Outs for them, Alan Christensen retired. Then they had a bunch of people delisted, as most clubs did. So Cedric Cox, Mitch Hinge. Geez, I'm having trouble getting the words out today. Mitch Hinge, Jacob Allison, Matty Eagles, the recruit, Corey Lyons, Sam Skinner, and Toby Wooler were all delisted. Steph Martin went to the Doggies, while Alex Witherden went to the West Coast Eagles. Zano, what are your thoughts on Brisbane's moves, and how are they going to be impacted fantasy-wise?
The one that I guess Joe Danaher going in, I wonder how much that frees up Hipwood to get up and down the ground. Honestly, don't think you could do it in salary, but maybe as a bit of a late pickup in a draft comp, especially if it's a keeper, you might be able to do something. Look, now the other thing I want to mention here is any of the prices that we talk about are scaled pricing as well, Arch. So we're going to talk here how Hipwood's priced at around 65. That's based on his score plus the 25% to get him to the non-COVID score. So we're just using that at this stage as a comparison. For argument's sake, we don't know exactly what it'll be, but everyone's going to be compared the same, I guess is the way to look at that. So he's going to be priced at about 65. Now, I reckon he can get a bit of a jump on that, but not enough for salary. The other one for me is Cockatoo. Now, even though Lincoln McCarthy was pretty good, he takes a spot for McCarthy. But the big thing here is he hasn't played for 2 years. Now, he's likely to be a rock-bottom $170,000 rookie price for us. So if he starts in the 22, he's one of the starts for the year, isn't he?
And Lincoln McCarthy's a good example, Zano, because he also came from Geelong after having no end of injury troubles. So,
yes.
And has been a solid performer for him. In the team for the last year and a half, 2 years. So obviously Brisbane are hoping to replicate that success with Cockatoo there. And if he is, mate, he's an absolute lock. My question for you, Zano, is around the ruck stocks. Obviously with Steph Martin leaving, I'm just curious as to what you think will happen with big Oscar McInerney. As we know, he was forward ruck this year. My question is, does he go into the number one ruck? Or do they play someone like an Archie Smith and have Big O continue to play forward and ruck role, that same role he has been playing?
Oh, he played number one ruck this year. Steph played way more up forward and missed a lot of football as well. So Big O's already taken the mantle up there as the number one ruck, which is probably half the reason Steph wanted out as well. Because he's probably getting completely squeezed out of that team regardless. So whether there's much of a jump there for Big O yet, I don't know. I think he's going to be one of those guys that's a slow burn.
Yeah, okay.
I reckon that he could get up to that 100 averaging type player, but I reckon we're going to see it as, you know, a 5 to 8 point jump every year for the next 3-4 years until he gets there. So I don't, again, I think he'd be great in a late pick in draft leagues at the moment, but yeah, I don't think you could jump on him in salary.
Yeah, no, fair enough.
All right, now moving to the best trade period in the history of the Carlton Football Club. Let's have a look at them, of course. Now, ins were Zach Williams as a free agent, and of course, they got in Lockie Fogarty and Adam Sard, who were traded into the team. Outs were Matty Cruiser and Cade Simpson. Both of those guys retired. And then Harrison McCready, Cal Moore, Fraser Phillips, Cam Polson, Hugh Goddard, Darcy Lang, Finbar O'Dwyer, and Ben Silvani have all been delisted. Look, Arch, I'll throw it to you first. What's your thoughts on Zach Williams?
Look, I love him, Zano. I really do. And if there's anyone that is going to get that, quote, more midfield time, I think it's going to be Zach Williams. He jumped as quick as he could to Carlton, and I think it's because he recognised that there's an opportunity in that midfield and that he's not going to be playing that half-back role, which is going to be great for two things. So, A, for salary cappers, because he will be defender eligible. And I do think that if he's a midfield only, he could push that, you know, normal year 95 to 100 average there. And the other big benefit is obviously in draft leagues, especially keeper leagues where people have held on to him, like my good self in that main league there. I'm very much looking forward to this year, but then next year, 2022, could be a problem because he may lose that defender status. But very I really much. Like what Carlton did, Zano, and it pains me to say I really like what Carlton did. I like that they get Sard in. Now, did they pay overs for him? Yes, they did. But you have to get people to move clubs. That's you pay overs to get what you need. So I really like him. And, I think it was a good off-season by your boys, mate.
Yeah, look, they definitely had a great trade period. It's funny you say was Sard overs. When you're paying a guy $650,000 a year in a five-year contract, pick eight probably isn't overs, you know?
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
So look, if you look at him as a halfback flanker from Essendon, yeah, maybe. If you look at what he's worth at a Carlton Football Club in payment and contract terms, it's probably about right. So
yeah.
I have no issues with what they've done there at all for as a Carlton supporter. Williams, I'm definitely keen on because the reports are he'll play through the midfield. Yeah. Definitely a big watch. And he's priced at 82. So that'll be a good one. Now, the other one, of course, as you mentioned, is Adam Sard. He's coming in straight up for Cade Simpson. But he'll be priced at about 83, and I don't know if there's a lot of jump there in him from 83. No. He's about that sort of a play. It might be an 83 to 90. So probably worthwhile as a, you know, third defender in a draft league, second defender maybe in a deeper league, but definitely not fantasy.
And the interesting thing will be to see what effect those two players coming in have on Sam Doherty. I'm actually really interested to see his role in the preseason.
Yeah, I can't see Sam Doherty changing at all because he'll just keep playing his role and Sard will take in for Simpson. Williams squeeze in the midfield. The one that will probably suffer out of all that will be Sam Pavreski-Seaton, who they've been playing off the half-back line.
Yeah, okay.
He's the one who's likely to get squeezed out there. Mind you, hearing some rumours that Newman might be injured again as well, but I'll keep that one close to my chest, so who knows what'll happen there yet.
All right, Zano, now we're in for some fun.
Wow.
You joked at the start that you were trying to trade me for a, you know, a packet of Sandboys and a carton of Coke. Collingwood, mate, what an off-season. Has there been an off-season like it? So I'll go through quickly what they've done before I get your thoughts on it. Now, they didn't bring anyone in. Out goes Dane Beams, Lyndon Dunn, Travis Varko, and Ben Reid, all retired. Tim Broomhead, Matthew Scharenberg, Flynn Appleby, Rupert Wills, Jaden Stevenson, Tom Phillips, and Adam Treloar So Rupert Wills was the last one. They were delisted. Jaden Stevenson, Tom Phillips, and Adam Treloar were all traded, Zano. And the interesting thing is, in the case of, I believe, both Phillips and Treloar, Collingwood are going to pay for him to play in another club, which, look, it does happen in the AFL, let's face it. It's a salary dump. What I'm more curious about, Zano, is your thoughts on how Collingwood as a club handled the, I guess the communication with members and the media and fans in general over that period.
There's two ways to look at this. If you look at Collingwood's trade period, just as it is, as we've just spoken about, they are clearly an F grade, right? It was an absolute debacle for them. However, if you look at their trade period based on what they needed to achieve, it's actually an A plus. And what, or as in what I mean by that is what they set out to achieve in the trade period. It's actually an A plus because it was very clear they needed to dump salary very early on, and they've managed to do that. So, you know, I don't think. Look, I know we know what the media is like sometimes, and whether they handled it well or not. But I don't think anybody can deny that we all knew, and the media knew, that they were trying to dump these players.
Oh, look, 100%, Zano. My question is, though, so it's obvious to you, me, and the blind dog that they were trying to dump salary.
Yep.
But that wasn't the line that Collingwood were coming out with in the media. It was all about, oh, we really like this draft and we want to move into this draft.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I think having a look at it, they actually moved up about 8 spots in this year's draft after all that. And that was about it. I just thought the messaging out of the club was horrendous.
It was mixed because, yeah, they said that they were trying to move into this draft and they really like this and they really like that. But, I mean, you're right. They would have been come out and said, look, guys, we needed to make room for salary. We've got no choice.
They would have been better off just being honest.
Which everybody knew was the case. So, I don't know. It's clubs play silly games. We know that. So, who knows? But where do we start, Arch, for looking at it from a fantasy point of view?
Yeah, okay. So, Treloar's exit, Zano. Who does that open the door for?
Yeah, so I was going to say, I think we can almost talk about Treloar and Phillips together. So, Phillips, for me, he played a lot up forward this year anyway, so I don't know if there's much of a worry there. I like Adams as one of the guys that'll probably step up a bit with Treloar gone. Like, he was very good already, and I think he'll be even better again. But for me, the one that I see the most benefit is Josh Dacos. He seems to be loved around the club, obviously the Dacos name as well. Now, he had a pretty decent 2020 going at 69.6 in Corona Ball. So he'll be priced at 87. So might be too hard to get him in salary. But definitely in draft leagues, I really like the look of Josh Dacos coming in for that Treloar role.
Yeah, you mentioned the Dacos name there, Zano, and they've got the Pies have got another one. I think his little brother Nick is coming through next year. I was going to talk to you as commissioner of our keeper league. Am I allowed to draft Nick this year just to get ahead of the game? Because apparently he's an absolute gun.
Yeah, we haven't seen anyone play in the unders this year, so we're not sure. But he's definitely peaked to be a gun. But no, you won't be drafting him until next year, Arch. But you may well finish last, so you might be able to get him anyway. But
well, that's very true.
Yeah, look, he is, but we're talking for next year. And for next year, I definitely think Josh Dacos is the guy that should benefit the most from that.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with you, Zano. I really liked what he did this year. Very solid player there. And, I mean, let's face it, out of the guys that have moved or retired, Dane Beams didn't play. Lyndon Dunn hardly played.
Yeah.
Varko, I don't think he played too much. And Ben Reid, the same. Stevenson was in and out of the team. And Phillips, I don't think he finished. I don't know that he was in the team by the end of the year either.
I think he was, but playing forward all year rather than midfield.
So, yeah, it's really only the Treloar spot that opens up. And so that probably, hopefully, moves Dacos in from a wing in as a, you know, as a full-blown midfielder, which would be awesome to see.
Yeah, and that's, I think, something to watch through pre-season for sure. All right, Arch, now let's move on to the other, probably second most spoken about team in the trade period behind Collingwood, and that's Essendon. Now, ins were Peter Wright, Jai Caldwell, and Nick Hind. They traded all those guys in. Now, outs are Connor McKenna, who's retired, but put an asterisk on that because I was reading something the other day that they may let him do a part-time footballer scenario. So, don't know what that means, but watch this space. Then you've got Josh Bagley, Tom Bellchambers, Noah Gown, never heard of him, Kobe Much, Henry Crawford, Mitch Hibbard, Jacob Townsend were all delisted, with Shauna McKernan and Joe Danaher left as free agents. McKernan was actually a delisted free agent, if I'm not mistaken there. And Adam Sard and Orazio Fantasia were traded. A lot happened for Essendon over this trade period, Arch. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, look, obviously the big one for Essendon coming in is Caldwell. There's a lot of hype, and he's one of those GWS midfielders. So my thought, Zano, is I'm wondering if he ends up becoming a Adam Treloar at his new club, or given that he's gone to Essendon, does he become a Dylan Scheel when they leave? So a solid midfielder, but not a fantasy gun. My thoughts are more the second with that one.
Yeah, look, he's going to be priced at 66. He's probably going to hold his forward status. Even if he's a 90 guy, which we know is sort of the mark from Essendon, it's still worthwhile looking at for sure to start the season. Yeah, okay. So definitely be looking at him. But yeah, I don't think he'll be a huge, huge jump up, that's for sure. The two for me is Peter Wright and Joe Danaher. Clearly, that's what the Peter Wright trade was for.
Yep.
He'll be actually priced at 45 to 50 next year, Peter Wright. Does he interest you at all at that price?
No, to be honest, Zano. He couldn't get a game at Gold Coast. He's a 2-metre key forward. The only reason I would look at him, and I can't see it happening, would be if... what's the ruckman's name?
Draper. Sam Draper?
Yeah, Draper. If Draper goes down, which hope it doesn't, and Peter Wright is required to come in as the main ruckman, then I might look at him as maybe a bench ruck spot, but I'm not interested as a forward.
Yeah, see, I reckon they've got him solely as a forward, Arch.
I agree.
Some assistance. So they've got no other key forwards left because they got rid of McKernan and they got rid of Danaher. Stringer's not a key forward. So I reckon that he's going to play with up forward probably majority of the time in most games. Look, whether you can get him at 45 to 50, I guess it depends what other rookies and values out there at the time. It's definitely worth a watch from my mind. Thing is, I probably can't see him averaging more than 60 anyway. So,
yeah, that's
you know, it's a desperate move. But, I know what you're saying, and I don't think I'll be interested in him either, to be honest. The other one for me is Adam Sard leaving Arch. Now, I really like Mason Redmond here. He had a down year in 2020 versus 2019. Now, he should be priced at around 58. He averaged 69 in 2020. And I can see him jumping straight into the role that Sard was playing. So, he's a huge watch for me, especially when it comes to draft leagues.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Zano, in draft leagues, absolutely, you could get him late. Mm. But salary cap, I mean, Sard wasn't a salary capper anyway. So if you weren't looking at Sard in salary cap, the bloke playing his role, assuming that he's not a, you know, $200,000 rookie, you're not going to be interested in him. But yeah. I agree, he could be definitely one to look at in draft leagues.
Look, priced at 58, if you think he can jump to 80, he's worthwhile looking at without any doubt at all. And what was Sard originally? Mid-80s, isn't he? So I'll be looking at him for salary if he's got that role that we'd like to see coming off the back line. He's not a keeper. He's one of those stepping stone sorts of guys if you need him. So
yep.
I'll be keeping an eye on him for sure.
All right, we move out west, Zano, to the Fremantle Dockers, another team that, for once, didn't actually bring anyone in.
No.
So Longmuir is really, I think he's sort of found his team there, found his boys.
Yep.
So he's working on developing the list that he's got rather than topping it up. The interesting ones are the outs, and the main one is the trade out of Jesse Hogan, which we'll get to in a second, Zane. I'll get your thoughts on that.
Yep.
But we've also got some delistings there of Isaiah Butters, Jason Carter, Hugh Dixon, Brandon Matera, Cam McCarthy is another interesting one, sure. Tom North, Dylan O'Reilly, and Jarvis Pina. Now, Hogan and McCarthy, Zano, both bought in as the great white hope as key forward options for the Freo Dockers, both out this year after failing to have an impact whatsoever. What are your thoughts there about Freo's forward stocks? Given that they're not really targeting another one, does that mean they're developing somebody in-house now?
So Fremantle will be desperate to pick up one of two guys in this year's draft, Arch. Both very good key forward. There's no doubt that their biggest gap on their list is a genuine key forward. You know, yep. There's a couple of guys coming in out of this draft that will go between, say, 5 and 15, depending on how some things pan out, that are both very good key forwards. At Fremantle, I guarantee you'll be hoping to snag one of those guys with their first pick, which I think...
Yeah, I don't know if they'll drop that far, though. That'll be the thing.
Yeah, it'll depend on how many players are bidded on under the academy rules, because there's a lot of academy players this year. In fact, about half of the first two rounds is academy players. So there's going to be a lot of jostling around that. You're right. It'll be lucky for them to get there, but I think they're definitely hoping to pick one up there if they can. If not, yeah, they still need to find a key forward from somewhere, because it's the one thing that they're missing.
What I find interesting, Zano, about Freo is I'm really looking forward to the continued development of their younger midfield brigade.
Absolutely.
So Chera, Brayshaw, Sarong, Henry, those sorts of guys. Again, you probably can't salary cap them this year because of their pricing, but if you can get those guys, if you're in an establishment keeper league, mate, I think you're in for a fun time.
Oh, absolutely. I love some of them. They need to get a good run in the midfield, and I think we've sort of come to see that Andy Brayshaw will be a full-time midfielder now, so
yep.
You'll be all right there. Chera, not so much. He still seems to be that half-back flanking type player. Sarong's just going to be a gun. Henry, we haven't even sort of touched the surface on yet. And don't forget, they've got a couple of other young guys in there as well, like Akers and guys like that. Even Griffin Logue down back. Aish is still young. Guys like Luke Ryan will surprise you how young they are, you know.
Yep.
They've got a really good young list at the moment. Hayden Young, he's the other one you didn't list there, Arch.
Yes, forgot about him, yeah.
Sam Sturt is another one. You know, there's some really good guys that are going to run through there. So, you know, interesting to see how they go. I also think that Rory Lobb may end up playing a lot of forward time, key forward for him coming into the next year. So I'll be interested to see how that pans out as well.
Yeah, it depends if Darcy stays healthy, I suppose.
Yeah, if Darcy's healthy and fit, I think we'll see, definitely see him playing forward, Rory Lobb playing forward a lot more.
Yep.
And then seeing how they go from there. So, but you're right, it's still that forward, key forward that they need, there's no doubt there. All right, Arch, that moves us on to the runners-up for 2020 in Geelong. Now, boy, didn't they bring out the Zimmer frames and the wheelchairs this year. So coming in is Isaac Smith as a free agent, so it cost them nothing. Sean Higgins and Jeremy Cameron were traded in. Outs were Gary Ablett and Harry Taylor, who retired. Jacob Kennelly, Jake Tarker, James Parsons, Blake Schlenschlong. And, of course, Lockie Fogarty and Nakai Cockatoo were traded. What do you see from a fantasy point of view for Geelong, Arch?
Well, I think they're going to need to have a really good investment in adult underwear, Zano, because they're all about 150 years old. But really, from a salary cap perspective, Smith and Cameron aren't exciting you at all. I think Cameron had, you know, a good run a couple of years ago there where he averaged sort of high 90s, but I can't see that happening given that he's going to split time with Tom Hawkins there. One of, if not both, Higgins or Danger will get forward status, which then makes it interesting. If either of those guys get forward status, which I think Danger is a fair chance to get it in the off season, and Higgins may get it throughout the season, so they could actually end up with both getting it there. You know, what you need to remember is you're not expecting too much more than 80 or 90 if those guys are playing forward. But even then, an 80 or 90 averaging forward isn't too bad at the end of the season at your F5, F6.
No, absolutely. Look, I see Danger the bigger chance of getting it over Higgins. But, yeah, I can't see much there, to be honest, Arch.
No.
I mean, Sam De Koning might come in and help out with Harry Taylor leaving a bit. He'll be he'll be nicely priced, but outside of that, I don't think there's much there.
Yep. Cool. All right, now, moving on to the Gold Coast Suns. Not quite as big a splash as what they did last year, Zano. So Rory Atkins and Oleg Markov. Again, they're targeting those fringe players. They're obviously Oleg Markov, fringe player for Richmond, and Atkins looking to get a little bit more job security there from Adelaide. Out for them, though, there's a fair bunch here. We've got Piers Hanley, George Haaland-Smith, and Anthony Miles all retired. Haaland-Smith retiring is a bit of a stretch, I think, yeah, with that one.
I think it was a push more than a retirement.
Yep. Delisted, Jacob Dawson, Corey Ellis, Sam Fletcher, Jacob Herron, Jesse Joyce, Mitch Riordan, Josh Schoenfeld, all delisted. And Peter Wright, as you mentioned before, was traded to Essendon.
Yep.
What are your thoughts on the Gold Coast Suns and their moves, Zeno? Is anything there jumps out at you?
Nah, move on. Yep. The guys that were good last year will be good again this year. Whether we can start a row will be a different question for later on. But nah, nothing excites me inside or outside of their trade period.
Yeah, I'm a bit the same. You're not chasing an Atkins. You're not chasing a Markov. Their development, much like Freo, Zeno, is going to be from within. In all honesty, I'm just looking forward to watching them play footy. I
agree entirely, so that's spot on. All right, Arch, moving on to Greater Western Sydney. Now, similar position to, I think, Collingwood this trade period, but not as bad. So, ins were Jesse Hogan and Braden Pruce. Outs were Sam Jacobs and Tom Sheridan, who retired. Heath Shaw, who was delisted / retired. Let's leave it at that. Jackson Hatley, who didn't sign a contract, but he's committed to Adelaide, so he'll just be picked up in the preseason draft. Arch is the first pick to them. Yep. Zach Williams and Aiden Corr left as free agents. And Zach Langdon, Jai Caldwell, and as we know, Jeremy Cameron were traded. Quick thoughts on that, Arch?
Yeah, look, I'll start with Hogan, Zeno, because that's the more interesting one. If yep. Hogan can get his body and, more importantly, his mind right, I think he's definitely worth a look. There was a time, when was it, in 2018, he actually averaged 92 in a season, Zeno. So the pedigree is there. He can do it. Now, I'm not expecting 92, but I think if he could average you 80 to 85 as a starting, I guess, a jumping point, that would be very, very interesting for me. I think Pruce is going to be the lock of the season at R2 there.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so that was my thought. I really like Pruce out of that lot, to be honest. In terms of the midfield, it'll be the same guy. So you've still got your Kelly, your Whitfield, your Taranto there. So I can't see too much development from other guys there apart from, was it Young Green we saw?
Yeah,
we saw this year, but again, now that he's not rookie price, he's probably not worth a look in salary cap. But again, in draft league, especially keepers, you'd want to be picking him up
for sure. Look, I'm not interested in the Jesse Hogan thing, I don't think, for the simple reason that he will cop such a better defender now with Jeremy Cameron gone. If Cameron was still there, I reckon that would have freed him up a fair bit, but I think that it was catch 22 that they needed him, but they needed Cameron gone to get him. So it's a bit interesting there for me. Look, you're right. Sauce Jacobs and Pruce I'm lumping together. Right now, Pruce will be priced at about 45, and he is my R2 in probably every format. So we'll wait and see what happens there. All right, Arch, that moves us on to Hawthorn. Coming in, Kyle Hardigan and Tom Phillips, who was traded in. Both of them were traded in, sorry. Outs were James Frawley, Connor Glass, and a bit of a surprise actually, Ricky Henderson, Paul Pioppolo, and Ben Stratton all retired. Will Gold, Darren Mitchington, Jack Ross, Henry Jones, and Matt Walker were all delisted. And Isaac Smith left as a free agent. There's probably one obvious one there, Arch, but what do you think about that?
Yeah, so first off, Zeno, don't be surprised. There's a bit of talk that James Frawley will actually go around with St Kilda next year.
Yep.
So don't be surprised if he pops up again there. I'm not really interested in any of these guys in salary cap, to be honest. I don't think there's actually too much difference there. Tom Phillips coming in, he will be good value in draft. The one that I'm looking at as a big improver this year based on his average is actually Tom Mitchell. I want to see him. I think he'll get back to his 110, 115 average, after having a slow start to the year this year.
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't think Tom Mitchell will ever get to that again. unfortunately, just because of the makeup of the team now, with guys like Warple and a few others taking points away. Whereas that year back in 2018, it was, wasn't it? Because he missed 2019. Yeah, so 2018, he was just the guy and the only guy in there. For me, Arch, at this stage, Tom Phillips is close to a lock to start the season for me in salary. He'll be priced at 79, and the 2 years prior, he went at 90 and 95. Now, he may also even hold forward status. So if he holds forward status, he's an absolute lock for me to start the season.
Yeah, that'd be very nice.
Yeah, so even if he hasn't, he'll be highly, highly considered to be in my team to start the season at 79, that's for sure. So, yeah, I quite like Tom Phillips and what he can do. He just needs the role to be able to do it, that's all.
Fair enough. And on to Melbourne. So in comes Melbourne, and I think he's probably still on his run-up, Zeno, is Ben Brown. Outs for Melbourne. Harley Bennell was retired, or he may have retired himself, but I think he was retired. And we found out today, Zeno, Cade Collegiazny had to retire because of concussions issues, which we bang on about that a fair amount, but good to see, or not good to see, that he's taking his health first, but we always like to see people that make the right decision for their future rather than try and push through.
Absolutely.
And speaking of those concussion issues, Zeno, we see Paddy McCartan could be in as well. I'll be interested to see if somebody takes a risk on him. But we're talking Melbourne. So as well as those guys, Cole Dunkley was a bad week to be a Wagner. Corey and Josh both delisted, as was Oscar McDonald.
Mm-hmm.
Mitch Hannon and Braden Pruce, as you just mentioned, Zeno, both traded. How do you see the Melbourne list moving forward?
Yeah, look, nothing from a fantasy point of view there, Arch. Look, they've got a reasonably strong list. They've just got to get some development and some cohesion on ground, don't they? But as far as fantasy goes, I'm not even interested in anything there, Arch. There's nothing there, ins or outs, that really excite me in any way at all.
So you wouldn't be willing to look at a Ben Brown, Zeno, given that you're looking at Hipwood and those sorts of guys? Similar sort of role.
Maybe.
Ben Brown will be priced very, very nicely given his extremely pathetic year this year. If he can bounce back to what he was a couple of years ago, he might be worth a look.
Look, possibly, but I just having a quick look. Hold tight. We'll have a look at what he's going to be priced at. I don't think so. So he's going to still be priced at 72 minus 3%. That's it.
Yeah, okay.
So what's
so
that
just under 70, 69.
Yeah, so high 60s anyway. So he only averaged, his highest ever average was 72 around there. And he get his discount on the 2019 score, which was 71.9. He played 9 games, so he only gets a discount of 3%. So, I can't see anyone jumping on him for salary and that. Maybe a draft league again a little later on for your last, you know, spot or two on. Well, in forwards, it's probably going to be an F2 at this stage. But, you know, maybe for a flyer there, but definitely I don't think I could see in the salary, Arch. Nah. All right, now let's move on to the North Melbourne Football Club, Arch. Thank God we're only talking about trading in the trade
period.
Hang on,
let me go. I'll come back in about 20 minutes, Zeno, when you're done.
Yep, so ins were Aiden Corr as a free agent and Lockie Young and Jaden Stevenson who were traded in. Stevenson's a pretty good pickup for him, let's be honest. Now I'm going to go to the traded out guys first, and Sean Higgins and Ben Brown. And now this is where you can take a break, Arch, because this is their delisted players so far. Paul O'Hearn, Joel Crocker, Majak Dore, Sam Durden, Lockie Hosey, Ben Jacobs, Jamie McMillan, Tom Murphy, Jasper Pittard, Marley Williams, Mason Wood, Edvicka Willis, all delisted. Now I'm going to take another breath. Very, very interesting period the North Melbourne Football Club are about to go through. Much there, Arch. Does that really worry you too much at all?
Now, look, it's more interesting, Zana, I think, because there's some really solid players there. Like Mason Wood was quite solid. I actually listened to an interview with him today. He had a bit of a rough end to the season, had some confidence issues by the sound there. It wouldn't surprise me if 2, 3 or even more of those guys actually got picked up by other clubs in the delisted free agency period, which I believe starts tomorrow, if I'm remembering correctly.
Close,
But also don't forget, Zano, they will have Ben Cunnington effectively as a new recruit after having most of the season off.
Yeah.
We also know that David Noble is now the coach, which we didn't know this last week when we were trying to report. So we just don't know. There's too many unknowns with North. How he sees the list, what roles he sees people playing. Does he want Zeeble to go back into the midfield? Those sorts of things. We just don't know. So until I just don't feel comfortable commenting until we see some sort of game plan out of Noble.
Yeah, look, I agree. Don't think there's anything there from a trade perspective that interests me one little bit. Ben Cunnington will come to at some stage in our pre-season stuff anyway, Arch, because he should be priced at around 63. So he's one that we'll be looking at as that underpriced midfielders. But nah, from a trade perspective, Arch, nothing there. Move on from.
I will be interested to see, Zana. I reckon Jaden Stevenson is going to have one of the all-time FU seasons.
Yep.
Where he's just going to look to stick it to Collingwood. He's already hired a personal trainer and doing all that sort of stuff. I think he's going to come back in ripper shape and just to prove Collingwood wrong, to be honest.
Yeah, it'll be. Oh, look, I don't know. Just because he wants to doesn't mean he can. He hasn't really shown a lot last year, but he's a good player, so yeah, it'll be interesting to see how he goes, that's for sure.
Cool. All right, Zano, on to Port Adelaide. So in for Port Adelaide, they finally got Alia after Sydney were saying no, but we all know that's how the trade times actually work. And Orazio Fantasia, again, they finally got him after 12 months after they tried to get him originally.
Yep.
Out, so Brad Ebert, Jack Watts and Justin Westhoff all retired, mate. There's a fair few games of experience there going out, along with Joe Attlee, Wiley Buzzer, Tobin Cox, Riley Grundy, Jake Patmore and Sam Sutcliffe, who were all delisted. Beneficiaries from there, who takes Ebert's spot up forward?
Fantasia takes that spot.
Yep.
Straight up, but I'm not interested in bringing Fantasia in, Arch.
No.
Look, I'll be honest with you, again, same as we've said for a few other teams out there, I'm not interested in anything. Well, I'm interested in Port Adelaide players for the season, but I don't see there being much from the trade period that's going to give us much of a booster anywhere, I don't think.
Yeah, again, much like Freo, I'm more interested in seeing the development of their younger players. So Butters, Rosie, Dersma, those sorts of guys. Again, I don't know whether you could have a go in salary cap there on Butters or Rosie, maybe.
No.
But it would be it would be a flyer, and you'd have to be willing to take a loss on it, but you could have a big win there as well.
Yeah,
but again, I'm interested in seeing the squad's development.
Yeah, so someone like Butters is going to be priced at around, doing some quick math here, to six, around 70, give or take. So, I don't think you can take flyers on guys like that, Arch. Definitely not. All right, moving on to the Richmond Football Club. This is going to be an easy one, Arch. Ins, none. Outs, Luke English, Fraser Turner, Derek Egg, Molesi Smith were all delisted. Oleg Markov and Jack Higgins traded. Anything to suggest or say there?
Nope.
Yep, move on.
We do the same. To St Kilda.
Yes.
Now, talk about having a couple of good off-seasons, mate. Their last two off-seasons have been absolutely magnificent with what they've managed to bring into the club.
Oh, for sure.
So this year they brought in Brad Crouch, Sean McKernan and Jack Higgins. Crouch was a free agent, McKernan a delisted free agent, as you mentioned before, and they got that trade from Richmond, as you just said. Out goes Nathan Brown, who retired, Ryan Abbott, Logan Austin, Jack Bell, Dalton Langlands, Jack Mayo, John O'Marsh, Shane Savage, Ed Phillips and Matty Parker were all delisted, and Nick Hind was traded to Essendon. How do you see the Saners, mate? Are they going to... I think they've made their moves. Are they going to really jump up the ladder this year?
Oh, I think they've already had their jump up the ladder. The jump up to the eight, the bottom four of the eight, is normally quite easy to do. It's then really becoming a contender in the top four, which takes that extra time. So I don't think they're going to jump up to be contenders, God no, but I think they're going to slowly build over the next few years to possibly start pushing that mantle. Fantasy point of view, Brad Crouch is the big one. Probably puts a line through Dunstan and Ross moving forward.
Yep.
You know, Dunstan wasn't even in the 22. Ross was really borderline, which is really strange. So he'll be in and out. Look, Jack Higgins might be worth a look at a draft league. He'll be priced around 74. Don't think you could do it in a salary format.
No, that's right. And I'm more interested in what the effect on another Jack Steele will be with that.
Yeah, I wouldn't be. Don't think it'll impact him too much. I think it'll impact more players like Dunstan and Ross more so than Jack Steele.
And I did just want to think, speaking of Jacks and St Kilda, mate, we forgot one back with Geelong, Jack Stephen. I believe he has officially retired there. I was listening to an interview with Brian Cook.
So Jack Stephen
off the list there, but he only played 3 or 4 games anyway. Yeah. I like the Saints, Zeno. I like what they're doing. I think Brad Crouch, assuming that he can stay healthy, he's had one good solid season now, so we have to assume he stays healthy. He'll be one of those guys, I would hope, that you could slot into your midfield and just know that you're going to get solid hundreds from him every year. Every week. 95 to 105 every week with the occasional 120. I think that would be realistic for Brad Crouch at the Saints.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's that 105-ish averaging player. And look, interesting at the Saints because they've probably got a better midfield at the moment than what Adelaide do. So how he fits into a better midfield, who knows, but there's a bit of competition at the Saints and midfield at the moment, especially when you've got guys like you mentioned, Dunstan and Ross. You've got guys like Billings who want to try and get through there, and Gresham, and you know, there's quite a few, so it'll be interesting to see how they go. Alright Arch, moving on to another easy one in Sydney. The ins are Tom Hickey, who was traded into the team. Out are Michael Knoll, Jack Mayborn, Zach Foote, Robbie Fox, Jackson Thurlow, which is a real gut wrencher after this year. Harry Reynolds, Brady Rolls, and Riley Stoddart, all the list as I said, and Alir was traded. Does anything interest you there, Arch?
Tom Hickey interests me in draft, Zono. with Naismith out for the season and Cal Sinclair the wrong side of 30, I do think they've got him in. I think he'll play games. I don't think you want him in a draft league as your main ruck, but if you're sticking him on a bench or if you're in a two-ruck league, I think he will be very handy for you. Other than that, no, Zeno, there's nothing really there. Sydney, again, focusing on their kids. So, again, like a couple of other teams there, development from within.
Yeah, so Hickey should be priced at around 55, Arch. Again, just quick math on that. So,
yep.
I don't know if he can go much more than 75. So, again, in draft leagues, he could be a good backup for you. But, yeah, I don't think you're touching that in salary. Nothing else really to even speak about there, I don't think.
Awesome, then. Moving on to the mighty, mighty West Coast Eagles. In for the Eagles come Zach Langdon and Alex Witherden. Will Schofield retired after playing... Mate, it's not too bad. He's in the Tom Boyd mould where he played his best ever game in a winning grand final.
So exactly.
Hats off to Scoey there. Delisted, Hamish Brayshaw, Lewis Jeddah, Mitch O'Neill, Nick Reid, Anthony Treakey, and Frankie Watson were delisted. And as you just said, Tom Hickey was traded to the Swans. I'll let you go first with the non-biased opinions, Zeno. What are your thoughts on the West Coast there? And in particular, the guys that they've brought in Langdon and Witherden.
Yeah, look, I mean... Langdon may squeeze into the team at times and Witherden too. I don't really know who for. Look, a lot of people, I mean, not many people are going to talk about Langdon. A lot of people are going to talk about Alex Witherden, but I just don't see him coming into that back line, at least as a consistent best 22 player week in, week out. I think he'll be relying on injuries. He's, I think, more for the role when Shannon Hearn probably retires at the end of this year for next year. So, for me, I don't think I'd be touching either because they both have in and outs written on them all season from a salary perspective and even a draft perspective. So, I'll probably be steering a bit clear, Arch.
Yeah, so I look at Zach Langdon and he comes straight in for Archie, who is, I guess, right down the bottom as far as my favourite players from the Eagles go. Mm-hmm. I think he'll apply that. He'll be that pressure forward role. Not salary cap or not fantasy relevant at all, mind you.
No.
But will play a good role. I think he will be I don't know that he'll be in and out of the team. I can actually see a fair role for him. And same with Witherden, to be honest. I think they're looking at Witherden this year. He will quite easily walk in and take a role from Nelson or Rotham. I think he will play those roles. But I agree with you, in the future, they're looking at him for the Shannon Hearn role or potentially a Brad Shepherd role as well down back. So would I jump on him in salary cap? I don't know. We know he can score. We know he can. But whether, because we know down back, you know, it's Shannon Hearn gets the points for the Eagles down there, and to some extent Brad Shepherd as well. Does he jump ahead of Shepherd? Probably not in terms of being in the team, but in terms of fantasy scoring, I think he probably does. So I'll be looking at him, but again, I could just have my Eagles blinders on, I think.
So let me mention this to you, that Rotham and Nelson, no, Nelson did. Rotham didn't play in the last part of the year either. So he isn't even considered in the best 22 already. So he's not coming in for him. So the thing with Witherden, right, who's he kicking out of Nelson, Barras, Shepherd, Hearn, McGovern and Duggan?
Yeah, so Duggan moves into the midfield and he goes in there, but Nelson's the one, I think.
Well, Duggan's not moving into the midfield. They've got him set up on that halfback role now for life. He's staying there. Because again, who are they taking out of the midfield? Of guys like Redden, Kelly, Gaff, Luke Shuey, who else have they got in there? Obviously Nick, Dom Sheed, he's the other one. He's not going in there for those guys. So Duggan won't move. He may come in for Nelson, but it may be in and out. They're a bit different players, actually. Nelson's a bit more of that ability to play key defender, where Witherden isn't. I just see in and out written over it all year, Arch.
I can see a bet being placed in our over under podcast on this one, Zano. Might fold that one for later on.
Yeah, absolutely. But and then look, how's he going to score being the guy in that team with others like Hearn, Shepherd, Duggan out down the back there? So yeah. Not for me this year, but when we see Hearn or someone move on, I'll be highly chasing him in a few places for sure. All right, Archer, that moves us on to the Western Bulldogs, last team to look at. So, ins were Mitch Hannon, Steph Martin and Adam Treloar. Now, geez, they had a good trade period, didn't they?
But they did, yeah.
We'll come to that in a second. Outs were Tory Dixon, who retired, Ben Cavara, Will Hayes, Callum Porter, Matty Suckling. Interesting that he got delisted, actually. Rourke Smith, Jackson Trengove, Billy Gowes, Fergus Green and Brad Lynch were all delisted. And Lockie Young was traded out. Much to worry about there, Arch. I think mainly we're looking at Steph Martin, Adam Treloar, what impact they may have around the club.
Yeah, look, that's really interesting, Zano. Bulldogs are going to be one of the most interesting fantasy teams to watch. We know their midfielders can score. You look at their midfield, you know, Bont, McRae, Hunter, Dunkley obviously didn't get out. They've all got to run through there. So Treloar is a midfielder. So that's going to push, you know, somebody out to the wing. Heaven forbid, I think it's going to be Jack McRae is actually going to push... push out to the wing and become more outside. And we saw that happen, I think, was it early in 2019 when he got pushed to the wing? And then Beveridge ended up putting him back in the midfield towards the end of the year. I'm probably staying away from all Bulldogs mids, to be honest.
Yeah, so for me, first on the mid, I think Adam Treloar will play on the wing more so than in the midfield. Yeah, he did a lot of that with Collingwood this year as well. Where guys like Pendlebury and Adams, guys like that were smack bang in the midfield. So I think that he'll be playing that wing role and probably Hunter on the other wing. I think the biggest loss in all of that would probably be someone like Dunkley. He was already squeezed out of the midfield, so he's only going to get further squeezed out doing that. Mate, there's even a chance, and we joked about this, that Dunkley may never even find himself in the 22, which is insane, isn't it? Because they're just so midfield heavy. And he's not
Zano, on if they... Yeah, that's what I was saying. It depends if they push him forward, how he adapts to that role and how well he plays. Yep. That is going to be very interesting to see. And if he doesn't enjoy the role, he's definitely out next year.
And they've got some good forwards, small forwards already running around down there. You know, so, yeah, I'll be interested to see how that goes. Really interesting.
We didn't even mention Bailey Smith as well as the other one.
Yeah, well, Bailey Smith, I would have to, at the moment, think that they've got him ahead of Dunkley, almost, you know? So, yeah, as I said, they're so top-heavy in the midfield, so I think Dunkley's definitely could be... Well, Dunkley's going to be impacted, whether it's because he's playing forward or can't get in the squad, who knows? But there's definitely going to be some impact there. They definitely don't need him as the ruckman anymore because they've now got Steph Martin.
Yeah.
So, nice segue into that. Question I've got there, Arch, is how much will Steph Martin impact English?
Immensely. In terms of ruck craft, absolutely. In terms of fantasy, not too much. English has been a bit of a non-event there as a ruck for the last couple of years.
Yep.
So I can't see him either making him more or less relevant.
Yeah. Look, I'm not convinced Steph Martin will be in the 22 yet. I think he'd have to be because you can't keep rucking guys like Dunkley, you know, as your number two ruckman. So I'll be watching that. If he's in the 22, I think he'll definitely impact English's scoring. If he's not in the 22, English might be all right. But the other thing is, it's also got the sort of thing written about it where Steph Martin could come in for two games and then out for two games and in for two games, out for two games. You could see English's scores go from 100 down to 60-60, you know. So it could be a roller coaster of a year for him. But that's it, Arch. That's all the teams through and done. So thanks again, listeners. Apologies for the coughing in the background. I promise I don't have coronavirus. I am just fighting off the last bit of a cold that I had last week. But if you want to check up on me, you can get me at OTLSZeno on Twitter, of course, and overlinesports.com.au. We've got some stuff going up there NBA-wise, and just keeping an eye on a few things to go bang if need be for BBL as well, Arch. So keep an eye out on that.
And you can get me at OTLS Archie on Twitter. And as always, if you are struggling, please give Lifeline a call on 13 11 14. And please give us a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts, and not just us, but all the fantasy podcasts that you do listen to.
Beautiful. Thanks again, everybody. Any questions on the trade period, let us know. But next up will be a look at the draft period as well and seeing what we can do there. So stay tuned. We will be back probably in a couple of weeks' time. Thanks again.
OTLS Sports, giving you the analysis and advice you need to get over the line.